this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I don't have such a long message this morning because you've heard actually majority of my message already through these testimonies and just the words from what is being done from this body and through this body. And that's actually what I want to touch on this morning is specifically why is important that as a body, as a church, should we be doing these works? Yes, they are NGOs with their own constitution and so on, but as you saw and as Heinrich explained, they're under the umbrella of Cyrus Trust, which is an extension of Shofar Christian Church. And why is it important for us as a church, for any church, to have these sort of extension, these arms? Not detached arms, but these arms that are connected and doing the work that not all of us will be doing our life, let's be honest. But we all need to be and should be and can be involved in one way or another. Okay, so I'm just going to pray quickly for myself to get focused. Got a bit emotional now praying for Chris. Beard envy, but let's pray quickly. Father, I want to thank you so much, Lord, for these testimonies, Lord. And thank you for your word, Lord, that speaks of these things that you're busy doing in our midst, Lord. That we don't need to be caught by surprise, Lord, because you're preparing our hearts and working in our hearts constantly for all of these amazing works that you've placed before us, before time began, before we were created. You already had these works in mind for us, Lord, and we thank you. And I just bring this word before you, Lord. May it fulfill that which you've sent it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so it's not going to be a long word. This is a short little devotion. And I didn't even do a PowerPoint slide. That's how short it is. Okay, hopefully that makes it short, not longer. But if you've got a Bible, if you can turn to Acts 6 quickly. Most of you could probably have guessed I was going to share from this, but I just want to share a couple of observations that I see in this with regards to why as a church, why as a community of believers is important for us to be open and ready to do the works of the ministry. Okay, number six. See, I'm already ahead of myself. Acts 6 from verse 1. Okay, and just before this, again, Peter and the whole gang of apostles, some of them again were rebuked by the Pharisees and the authority of that time. And then just after this is where the story of Stephen comes in and his prochorus and the works that they were doing. Okay, if you're wondering why we call that other place prochorus, it's because it's straight out of the Bible. Okay, now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon and Pumba, Parmenas. No, it's just Timon. No one got that. You can see who's all reading out of their Bibles. Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Okay, awesome. Many of you have read this over and over again, and then obviously it goes in Stephen and his testimony and the amazing works that he did. But there's two things I want to start off with and just quickly highlight. I'm tying myself at the back there, so hopefully I'll get through this quickly. There's two things. First thing is you see is that this is pretty much the first mercy ministry, if I can put it that way. Okay, first thing, the first church, and all of a sudden there's needs being met, not necessarily the spiritual needs, but the physical needs. Okay, and what we see also is that it starts within the church. It was within the community of believers that gathered together that they started serving each other. Okay, scripture talks there, we see that word daily distribution, and if you look at Acts 5, I'll quickly read it just to summarize what I believe they're talking about there. Now, the multitude of those who believed, sorry, it's Acts 4, who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed it to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Because I believe this, when they're talking about the daily distribution, this is kind of the hint that I believe you can look at what they're actually referring to there. Okay, so what we see is a bunch of people, they now have encountered Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is working mightily among them. The apostles are doing amazing works, spreading the gospel, and people are being added daily. And everybody is so pumped, they're so excited, the Holy Spirit moving so mightily amongst them that they can't help but start acting out on their faith, seeing the needs just amongst their brethren. Okay, see amongst their brethren. And for those who are wondering, I believe this is also a picture of New Testament, New Covenant tithing. Okay, why do I say that? Is all of these people were Jews, mostly Jews, or from biblical times, they all had an understanding of giving an X amount out of what you earn. So they come there and they're bringing their stuff and they're used to giving to the temple, and God works in their heart and they say, you know what, I've been giving 20%, maybe 30% of my income, but I'm so grateful for what I've received. None of it is mine to begin with. And there's that overflow. So it goes beyond. It's not about how much. Okay? It's not about whether you should. That's a giver. For them it was a giver. I should give. But what changed in them with the Spirit of God coming in them and working in them was an overflow. Because most of them, obviously, at the beginning of the month, through Numbers and Deuteronomy, you can see they had to give up to 30% at times of their income, the mandatory income. 10% for those who worked in the temple, 10% for the community to share, and then every third year there was 10% for the sojourner and the underprivileged and those who had nothing. Okay, so they were used to it. And here we see this, the work of God, just this thankfulness and gratefulness. And it's overflowing that they're not sitting at the beginning of the month calculating their stuff and saying, okay, there's 10%. And I was just, Lord, yeah. You know, put it at the apostles' feet that it can be spread out as God leads them, as the Holy Spirit leads them. So the daily distribution. Okay, and then we see this complaint arises. So what it is, you can imagine the apostles are walking around and it's growing. I mean, it started off with 3,000. Now it's probably, 10,000 people, however many. And they're walking around and, ministering and so on. And the daily distribution is going on. They've already decided X amount goes there, X amount goes there. So there's maybe a routine that's built in of who gets what and how they get it, how they distribute it. Apostles are walking around and all of a sudden, as we are by human nature, that excitement is there, it's all there, but then it starts, the realness of this thing comes in, that there's X amount of numbers, there's X amount of food and possessions coming in. How do we distribute it, that it's fair, that it's even? Okay, then you've got the Hebrews and the Hellenists, and obviously there are probably more Hebrews at that stage, so the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking Jews, were obviously more than likely in the minority, and they started feeling left out. Okay, complaining to the apostles, and maybe they didn't even complain as much as maybe we imagined, but the apostles just being there noticed, look, this is long term, this is not going to work out. We need to have people that are set out for this. Okay, calling the multitude together and saying, okay, church, okay, people of God, brothers and sisters, there is this need. God is taking us to another level now. Okay, God is taking us even further into changing our community and changing the environment. Okay, but we need to trust that God is going to raise up more ministers, not just ministers in word, but ministers in deed also. Okay, and I'm putting it to you, people of the faith, people of God, go seek out these people. Why? It's not that we don't have a heart for it, but God has called us as this part of the body to go spread the gospel, to get people saved. And I believe most of this daily distribution was predominantly for those within the church. Does it mean that the people outside were excluded? No, I'll explain later when I wrap up. I don't believe people were necessarily excluded, but I believe this daily distribution was focused on the brothers and sisters serving each other with what we have, serving each other with our time, with our possessions, whatever it might be, serving each other. Okay, and out of that flows more of this mercy ministry, as we now call it. Okay, so calls them together and say, you go seek out some individuals, bring them forward, individuals who are full of faith, the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom. Okay, of good reputation. Go seek out these people and bring them forward, and we will set them over this business. Okay, set them over this, almost this NGO that we're going to start. Okay, flowing out of what we're doing. So they go, and so first of all, it's out of the congregation of believers. This grows and is an extension of it. Second thing is, what type of people did he end up using? Now, we know the scripture as it is there, but we don't often think of it in that way when we ourselves get stirred for a certain thing. He didn't say, go find the people that speak the best. Go find the people who are the most confident. Go find the people who are, you know, bold and who will not take no for an answer, will knock down doors, and will get this job done. He doesn't say that. Okay, he being all the apostles. And this is obviously what God is busy stirring. Don't go look for the people who've got the loudest mouth. Okay, who are so sure that they're going to do this. Don't even go look for the people who know that working with widows and orphans is necessary, they're calling. Just go look for people who've got a good reputation. When you think of them, it's difficult to think of something bad to say about them. They just go about their business. Go look for people who you know are filled with the Holy Spirit, that is overflowing for them. So in other words, people whose first and foremost they love is Jesus Christ. First and foremost is the kingdom. Go look for those people. Again, people who exercise wisdom, who despite being filled by the Holy Spirit and being passionate about God and being on fire for the Lord, they can still exercise wisdom. They can still look at a situation and not be overwhelmed by it, by their zeal, and just sum it up and be like, okay, Lord, what needs to happen? Obviously, when he's talking, he's not talking about earthly wisdom. He's talking about a wisdom that is inspired by God. So he says, go search out those people. Okay, so they bring these people and they don't just say, okay, yeah, you're it. Okay, great. They bring them to the apostles. Okay, they bring them to those who were over it at that stage. And this is not a punt for leadership, but this is how God institutes it. Because in that place is recognizing, look, this is what God has called you for. We are setting you apart for this. At the end of the day, we're not setting you to do your own thing or isolated, because that's a temptation we have now. Where there are NGOs popping up everywhere, but they all are separate, all doing their own thing. Yes, we're doing the same work, but I submit to no man. I do what I want. I do it as I want. And that's fine for the temporary, but long term. And Machli, for example, nowadays, for those, all the ladies doing the Children of the Day, Beth Moore thing. Okay? This last week, they're talking specifically in the last days, there is going to be lawlessness. But what I believe what happens here is, and you see, right, they were in unity from the get-go, all getting saved, all being filled by the Holy Spirit, all of one mind. And this process is not that the apostles necessarily were, you know, more saved than the rest. It's just that thing of, with all that we do here, ultimately, is to stay in line with where God is taking us all. Not certain individuals based on what they're doing. Where's God taking all of us? So whether you're doing the skate park, whether you're doing bridging abilities, whether you're doing any of this stuff, God is still taking all of us in a direction. So come, let's step in unity, that we just remind ourselves through this process, that obviously, and there is power in that, we see it. You know, laying on of hands, stir up the gift that is in you with the laying on of hands. We know that, but besides just the super spiritual aspect of that is that we are all heading in the same direction. We're not fighting against each other. Okay, we're working together. We're building the kingdom together. And I started off saying also that I believe this was primarily initially for those within the house, within the family, within the church. Yes, I'm doing well on my time. Okay. But then from that, what you see is it says, yeah, that the numbers continue to increase. Ken, how is that possible when, you know, each person then is starting to be busy with their thing? Because now we start seeing the separation. Unity, but we start seeing the specializing in certain areas. And what this does is, and one of the things I was thinking of in just thinking, okay, how does this work together within the church, the different arms that are still, you know, they have kind of their own mind and so on, but they still have the same mind. How does that work? And I really believe as you look further on where it says, look, we still have to preach the word. We can't do this. And they weren't talking down on waiting tables. I believe they were just using that as an example. We our specific things, we need to travel across the country, across this world, and share the gospel. But there are some of you, because the people that they wanted weren't just any Tom, Dick, and Harry. That's how important it was to them also. Okay, but they understood that there is a specializing that starts to needs to take place now. So anyway, so as they were freed up, they carried on ministering the word. And we see it saying that, you know what, many people came to salvation. Many people, priests, those who were opposed to what they were doing, started coming to salvation. The word of God spread. Why? Because these two things were in unity. It wasn't, I'm doing my thing, and this is what God says, widows and orphans, we have to look after widows and orphans. No, no, but God says, you know, we must minister the word. It wasn't that. There was this understanding, this unity of what we are doing, both of these things, or ultimately extending the kingdom. When your hands are tied, busy putting on rollerblades, there are people praying for you that are stirring the hearts and the faith of those kids who have now come. And this is where it starts. And this is how those on the outside, as we see in the scripture, start coming in. Because even though we're looking after each other as brothers and sisters, people are still getting saved, which means more people are getting added, which means more people are getting served and getting blessed and being brought into the abundance that God is providing for us. So those on the outside should never stay on the outside for long. Okay? Mercy ministries is such as people getting what they don't deserve. In fact, the opposite of what they do deserve. Okay? You've made mistakes. You've lost your house because of your bad habits. You know what? I'm going to give you a plate of food, and I'm going to spend time with you, and I'm going to build a relationship. You don't deserve it. What you do deserve is the fact that you lost your house, that you lost your kids, all that sort of stuff. But this is the grace of God, that I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. I'm not going to call you out on that. I'm going to show mercy, and I'm going to meet that need. Okay, so in other words, what we see then is, as James says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And what this does, it creates almost like a loop. This, the faith initially of these people in unity, the first church in unity, the faith of these guys, the faith of Stephen, the faith of Prochorus, the faith of Timon, okay? Their faith produced this amazing works that enabled the apostles to carry on going out, to carry on ministering the word. In other words, as they went out and brought, you know, introduced and shared the gospel, more people came into the faith. So this faith produced works that produced faith. Faith that produced works that produced more faith. And that faith, in turn, produces works. Okay? And that is not a contradiction. And that's what the world wants us to start thinking. You cannot do mercy ministries and be part of a church because doors will close for you. People are not going to give money. And as Chris and them have shown, we need to start changing that, people. We cannot go on like that because that's how the world wants to hijack the work that is meant for the church. Majority, if not almost all, okay, not all, but majority of all the top old universities, old schools, old orphanages, was a seed that God planted in the ministry of someone. All of it. You go across Africa and there are dozens of orphanages and schools all started by who? Missionaries. That's the legacy we have, but what legacy we are building now? The Holy Spirit's leading me and, you know, no. Yes, that's true. But if he's not leading you into a place of compassion, then you don't know the same Jesus that I know. Because my Lord and my Savior has given me the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in me, and the more I walk with him, the more I'm stirred to compassion. I'm realistic. I know I don't necessarily have the gift or the patience to meet the needs the way Chris can. Well, even my wife. She's loving this creche thing now in Solaris Pass, not because she enjoys seeing people suffering, but God has stirred her, and she's got a massive heart for these kids. I mean, the work that God has started doing there, the work that Gerard is doing, I'm not going to try and fake it. But like these apostles, when they were walking in between and the daily distribution was going on, just like them, even though they knew that they were called to minister the word and go around, their hearts were open and knew that this is a need that needs to be filled. They weren't like, oh, but it's not my problem. We started it. Great. You carry on. I'm going to go. No. So no one sitting here at any stage can say, yeah, but I'm not called for mercy ministries. I'm called to preach. If you're called to be in the kingdom, if your name is written in the book of life, your name is called to meeting the need where the need is. And if you're walking down the street and there's a guy and God lays on your heart, we know there are sharks out there, but that should not be a reason to harden our heart to the works that is needed to be done. If you're walking in the street and there's a guy asking you stuff, and there's one or two guys you know, who kind of grown on me, you know. But still, obviously, I need wisdom, and I don't know enough to be able to separate where they're taking advantage, where they're not, and we know that. So I also got to be wise. I'm not going to enable him in what he is struggling with. But there's one or two guys that, I'll just start being human to them because I know that they're human also. They've made mistakes. So now I'll often, you know, I'll chat to them and I'll greet them, and every now and then I'll give them something or buy them food or whatever. But in that, inviting them in closer, that when I eventually say, look, at the end, I don't have, you know, money I don't have, but what I do have for you, stand and walk. Don't be lame anymore. Don't be crippled. Don't be broken by the world. Because it doesn't matter whether or not they are handicapped or not. If we can't minister to those who physically we see are struggling, every other person that near me hears the gospel in response to Jesus Christ, we all at some stage were handicapped. We had an inability to love like we're supposed to love. Why? Because we're all broken. We're all sinful. We're all fallen. And Jesus is the one who helped us stand. So when Candace and when Chris and Gerard and Heinrich and Annika are all busy with this stuff, they're the precursors on top of everything else. They're the Stevens. And they're the ones, us as a body, stand behind and say, these are the people that we want to get behind. As they do the work, we want to be behind them, supporting them, walking with them, growing. Because as they grow, we grow. As they grow and they become more effective, as the doors open, the Hebrews and the Hellenists will get their daily distribution. Everybody will get what they don't deserve, but what they need. So when we send people, when we pray for Chris and them, we're not saying, great, Chris, you go do your work. Yay, we got an awesome skater, went to the X Games so many times. Yay, oh, I saw him in the newspaper. No, we together. When Chris is doing well, we're doing well. When Candace is doing well, we're doing well. Because they represent us as the hands and feet moving forward. When Richard shares his testimony, that's amazing testimony. I love it. And I'm not going to ask you to raise hands now, but we had an outreach month. How many of you can look back in that outreach month and say, we really connected and I feel we really planted a seed in that person's life in that time period? Or did the outreach month go past and we were like, great, the Springboks, oh, World Cup, They are, as a body, if we're not doing that, then God could be like, okay, I'm going to try something else with someone else. But we are called to be the hands and feet, as much as we are called to be the intercessors, as much as we are. David didn't just pray all day. He also went to war. So if you're praying and hoping someone else would do it, then you need to go read your Bible again. And I know I'm the same. And my wife has challenged me a lot now with the thing in Solari's past now. Because I've fell into that hole also. Lord, you're great. Lord, send the people to do the work. I'm like, okay, Jonah, I'm sending you. No, send someone else. So I'm going to pray for us now. The reason I'm going to, actually some other stuff I'd like to share, but I'm not going to share it, because I want us to go and we go visit those stalls outside and we chat to the guys doing the work, even if it's just that we can get an impartation from them. Chris, what drives you? What is it that makes you do these things? What makes it that you, as Chris, skater boy, goes into Bontevil? Police don't even want to go there, you know? But you're going and building skate ramps, you know? What is it? And how is it that you can go through that and not be fearful that something's going to happen to you? And if you are fearful, how do you get through it? You know? Candace, how do you not get despondent doing what you do? Gerard, how do you not get despondent? How do you not get tired, discouraged? You know? Annika, you've been doing the CSVFA thing for how long? How do you still carry on? How do you do that? But I need that faith. Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Chris, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Candace, a woman full of faith in the Holy Spirit. I want to be a person known as someone who's full of faith in the Holy Spirit, in whichever field I'm at. Maybe your mercy ministry is a person in work who's actually heading towards a suicide because they're working so hard and things are not working out for them. In the week, I heard of someone again in Cape Town committing suicide there. Why? Because there are people around them. It's not because the devil stole from them. It's because there are people around them who don't realize that they need to be in his job, working with him as a person full of faith and the Holy Spirit. That's all it takes. My dad worked at the engine building there for a while. He does contract work, IT. And he came in one day when I was still at home, and he was like, you wouldn't believe this. Someone jumped off his building right outside his window in that big square there. I don't know if you know what it is. I'm like, where were the people full of faith in the Holy Spirit? Just to be present. Just to be there and ready when God says, do the work now. Don't go lock yourself in the bathroom and pray about the work that needs to be done. Go do the work. How do we get there? As we say, Lord, I submit my ways to you. I can't do this, Lord. I'm fearful. I don't know the words. I'm not educated enough. I don't know the scriptures enough. God is saying right now, I don't care right now. All I want is to know, is your heart ready? Is your heart ready? Debbie and Gavin and Debbie going into Bright Lights, and they've got a big heart for the night shelters and so on. Okay, if you ask them now, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they need to do. The need is a lot bigger than what they can do. But they said, Lord, I don't know. I don't know, Lord, but you know. Use me, Lord. So I'm going to pray for us now. And I'm going to ask you to ask us questions. And God has been speaking to us a lot about this. If you're in this church and you've been over for the last month, God has been talking a lot about this. Yes, it's Activate Sunday, talking about what other guys are doing. But God has been speaking to us saying, what are we doing? All of us. God has raised up amazing Stevens and Prochoruses and all these guys within our midst. But what, are we standing behind them? Are we there? If you're sitting here and you're still like, I don't like giving. I don't think it's biblical. I don't even want to debate about stuff like it. There's a need and it needs to be met. Where are we in proximity to that need? Are we pointing fingers at Jesus when he goes in with the sinners and when he sits around with all those people? Or are we following him into the house of the sinners, of those who are broken? So, Father, Flo, you can come up. We can end with a song also. If Flo is here. Okay. Father, I just want to thank you so much that we were broken and we were lame and we were crippled and we were hopeless and we were sinners and we were distant and we were wrong and we were evil and we were wicked. But yet, you showed mercy on us. That we were wrong in every possible way, that we did everything possible to offend you and to push you away and to break this connection that you want to build with us, Lord, to run out into the streets, Lord, that we've run away from home and we don't want to come back. That naughty child that just is so broken and so lost but doesn't realize and spends all the time just rebelling, Lord. And all you do as our Father is just keep following us into the streets, Lord. Keep following us, going into the darkest places, Lord. But you still come and fetch us, Lord. You still come, Lord. And I said, you'll forgive us, Lord. You'll forgive me, Lord. Spending more time focusing on the darkness and what seems hopeless, Lord. And not realizing that it's hopeless and it's dark because I haven't stepped in there yet, Lord. Because I haven't brought the light that is within me, Lord. That I've not opened my mouth when I've needed to open my mouth, Lord. That I've passed the buck instead of someone else's fault or it's someone else's responsibility, Lord. But Lord, right now, Lord, I just ask that you'll give me the strength and you'll give us the strength and the boldness to turn our back on our own self-pity, our own self-centeredness, Lord, self-righteousness, focusing on all the secondaries, Lord, but losing sight of the primary. And Jesus, you are still walking, Lord. You are going from house to house. You're feeding the masses. And we are just trying to tell you what you can't do, what is impossible, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you want to build our faith, Lord. That Holy Spirit, you want to step and take the lead, Lord. as so many people have preached and shared here over the last while of what we feel you're doing, Lord, starting with Mercy Oakham, Lord, and moving right through Theo and Heinrich. Lord, you're speaking so clearly to us, Lord, that we just need to come back to our first love. That all the things we're building, Lord, counts for naught, Lord, if our brothers die. All that we are building comes to ruin, Lord, if it's not built on your love and your heart, Lord. And your love and your heart says, go. Connect with the broken, connect with the lost. I never left you bleeding in the field when you were broken and you were born for the first time. I came alongside you and I helped you and I raised you. So go do the same. Do not be like Jonah, pointing out how dangerous it is back there. Lord, do you know what they are doing there? They are killing our people. Do you know what they are doing back there? They're doing terrible things. They're lost. Lord, I can't go, Lord. I can't go. Lord, turn our hearts and change our hearts, Lord, before having to get swallowed by that fish, Lord, before hitting that rock bottom and hitting the circumstances, Lord, where we actually know it's you busy shouting at us, Lord, and saying, listen, my son, my daughter, listen. I'm not asking you to go as a vulnerable individual. I'm asking you to go as an overcomer. I've given you all the armor. Nothing can pierce it. What are you scared of? What are you afraid of? And it starts with allowing me to show you what it means to love. Take that first step of just loving. And it's not an emotional thing. It's not about how you feel, but it's about what I want to do through you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're this amazing living God that walks the road with us, that walks into the dark places with us, Lord. And all you want us to do is walk in there and say, God loves you. How do I know God really loves me? I'm going to show you how he loves you. That we can get on our knees with that broken individual, with that person who has the need and say, yeah, let's do this together. Let me do it for you. Thank you, Lord. So just where you are right now, before I close, this is a process. If you're wondering, but we do this every week. We do this every week because God is still working in us. Because things haven't really changed that much. So where you are at, just bring your heart before God. Bring before God that individual that you're trying to avoid at work. Bring to God the prompting that you know you've had now when they shared the testimonies of what the work is that they're doing. And bring that before God and ask God to clarify what is it that he wants you to do. And ask him to show you where is that place where you still, where you need to show mercy, where you need to be the picture of mercy and hope, wherever it might be. Now I'm going to ask you to stand as we're going to end off. Let us stay in the space right now. We're not going to chat or anything. We're just going to close up and just consecrate ourselves in this word. Before you start singing, I'm just going to ask you just to pray in the spirit if you can. Just quietly where you are, just between you and God. And you know, and remember, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So this is not a condemning word. It's just a reminder that we all need sometimes. I need it often. Because in light of eternity, in the light of the God we serve, we're all still just toddlers. Barely learning to walk. Barely able to speak. And we need often, we need him just to remind us of who he is, that he is our Father. So as we worship night, if you're here this evening and you, when I speak of first love, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You haven't met this love to begin with. When we start talking about this road and this walk, being the light, all these sort of things, you know, maybe you once responded and you said, Lord, yes, I surrender my life to you. But you know, right now where you are at, you as much contributing to that, the darkness being the inability to see further than the next work, the next scrambling to just get through the day. Not being able to see that there is something better outside of your current circumstances. That is you. As we worship, I'm going to ask you to let us pray with you. Bring that before God. And when God speaks to you, I'm going to ask you to step out and come to the front. Only the enemy, only Satan works in secret. We are the children of the light, and we work in the light. And if you feel that, you know, maybe you're that person who needed someone to show mercy to you at work or somewhere along the way. There's a death in the family recently, and you felt like you were alone. And you needed someone just to be there for you, to come there for you. Maybe you're that person. I just want to say I'm sorry that one of us weren't there, that one of the children of God weren't there to show that light and to give you that hug and to give you that word of encouragement. I want to say I'm sorry. We're all still growing. We're all still learning how to do this thing, how to walk this walk. We're all still stumbling. But if that is you, I'm going to ask you, let us pray with you. Let me pray with you in front. Step into the light and let God just bring that light in you, show you his love. And please remember to go visit and chat to Chris and chat to all the people who are in the trenches. They need your encouragement. Even if you don't have anything to give physically right now, they need your prayer. They need your word of encouragement. They need your thank yous. And if that's all you do when you go see them, tell them, thank you for doing this. Thank you. Thank you for not exalting yourself higher than the call God has placed in your life. Thank you.